All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Sam Gagné is on waivers. A trade could be happening during our show. Don't waste any time. Hit the button, the lead, whatever. We're probably not getting a trade during our show. Liam, you can put your hat back on.
No, I didn't want it. I don't like wearing my hat on the show, which may be different to contrary belief.
We do mix it. We have become slowly more of a no hat show.
Slowly. We've grown up a little bit over our years, I think. But yeah, that one.
Worried about our hairline, some would say.
I am. My dad told me I was balding the other week.
No, you're not. Give me a peek. Give me a peek at the top of the dome.
I'm showing you the top of my head. Just in case.
Welcome into Oilers Nation every day live.
Sit down.
Live on the Oilers Nation YouTube and live from the Sports Closet studio. Check them out online, sportscloset.ca. Did you know I went to Sports Closet in St. Albert on Sunday?
No, I did not know.
Yeah, because I didn't tell anyone. I kept it a secret.
You told me.
Oh, I did?
Pre-game.
What did you do? What did you get?
I needed a new all-black hat.
Oh, that's a good call.
So I went and got an all-black Blue Jays hat. Not a hint of color on it. The logo is totally blacked out. You know, everyone needs a good quality all black hat in their wardrobe.
Yeah, I'm with you. A good black hat goes a long way. I like a solid color hat. Like I like this one.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's got a little bit of black on it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of cool.
And it's dark tones.
I got this one from Sports Closet, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
They sell Adidas gear.
From a Christmas.
Well, there you go. All right. Welcome into the show, everybody. We have an absolutely loaded program today.
Yeah.
Double guest day. Pew, 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 pew,
pew, pew. Oh, yeah.
Luke Gazdick going to swing by for his monthly appearance in 7 minutes. DJ Bean. We've had Pete Blackburn on. DJ is the other half of the What Chaos show, one of the most popular shows on the internet.
Well, here's some more news. I don't know if we even care, but the Calgary Flames have claimed Matthew Phillips off waivers.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. The gentleman who left them to sign in Washington got put on waivers in Washington. Pittsburgh claimed him. And now Calgary has got Matthew Phillips back.
Wait.
Right?
Or did they? Chris Johnson just says, my mistake, Calgary's claimed Joel Hanley from Dallas.
What the heck?
Have they claimed both or just one? Oh, now Friedman's deleted the Phillips tweet.
Oh, well, way to make me look like a fool.
Well, Calgary has claimed Joel Hanley on waivers.
That's a great pickup.
I like him. He's a decent D-man.
I was kind of hoping he would slip through. I think it was actually Ryan pinned a tweet yesterday. I was like, oh, this would be a good pickup for Calgary because he's a league minimum, I think, another year on his deal. Like, that guy likely wouldn't have slipped through much. You know, I'm not surprised he got claimed by Calgary. Like, I think a lot of playoff teams would have welcomed that guy.
A good seven, I think. Dallas is just super deep deadline. So there you go. A little bit of waiver news today. Sam Gagner placed on waivers by the Edmonton Oilers. And I know a lot of people are going to be sitting here going, why would you waive Sam Gagner and not Derek Ryan and not Connor Brown and not Matthias Janmark? Well, first off, Matthias Janmark is a top six winger right now. Can't waive that guy. But I think this may be an unpopular, it may be wrong. I think Sam Gagner out of Gagner, Ryan, and Brown still has the least chance of getting claimed.
I would 100% agree, unfortunately. And also, Sam Gagner could just do the Jason Spezza thing where he says, you claim me, I ain't coming, I'm retiring.
I feel like a lot of teams around the league would almost understand that too and be like,
there's a respect factor to it, right? Like, actually, Matthew Phillips got claimed by Washington, but you look at a guy.
Wait, he's back with Washington?
Yeah, now he's back in Washington. You look at a guy like that, and it was a guy that last year, Brooks, right? Remember that guy, Toronto, Winnipeg? He bounced around like three different teams through waivers. Like, those guys can get picked off every week. But you get these veteran guys. I think teams deserve, like, those guys deserve respect from the league. Be like, we're just going to let that guy slip through.
Yeah. So, what does it mean, though? Well, it could mean there's a bit of trade activity. Get the Brian Windhorst meme. Why are you waving Sam Gagner on a game day?
What does this mean?
What if someone gets hurt in warmups? Was Sam Gagner ever on the plane to Boston? These are things we don't know.
I hope not. That's a long way back.
You land in Boston, you're like, all right, game day. And they're like, actually, quick flight to Bakersfield?
Yikes.
Huh?
Probably LAX and then transferring.
Yeah, sucks. But it also could just be the Oilers. This might be preemptive, maybe. Like, if a deal is going to break in the next, whatever, 24 hours, or once Gagner clears, you want to have the roster spot open. You want to have as much cap space as possible, right?
Yeah, and we've kind of speculated on this, too. Like, the Oilers, what is it, $2.3 million, I think, if they didn't send anybody down. Now they're up to almost $3 million to get someone in. Mm-hmm. They've got money to play with. Like, I know there's not a lot, but they've got enough there where they could easily acquire a couple of guys that they can get some salary retained without losing anybody via trade. Obviously, they lost Gagner today, but, and also too, like, another layer of it, as much as, like, we all love Gagner, clearly the coach doesn't think he can play every day.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. Derek Ryan, I know Gagner played last game and he played relatively well, but, like, Derek Ryan's the only right-handed centerman on this team. They're not going to get rid of him.
Derek Ryan and Connor Brown can kill penalties.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and the other layer is Brown kills penalties, and fortunately, Gagner is just not that guy anymore.
He's your 13th forward. There's nothing wrong with that.
Arguably the 14th.
Hamblin?
I think there's a few guys ahead of him, yeah. Mm. I love him, but again, he's not... It's not as crazy as a loss as we made it seem.
Him taking that slap shot on the 2-on-1 last game was electric.
Epic. I miss those moments.
He's brought us some good moments this year.
Those random shots. The one that, I know we're going to get to him soon, Gazdik. Remember the Vegas one where he just shot and Gazdik said that was the same goal that he scored same set play. Was it called the Sedin?
Yeah, the Sedin. Yeah. Good memory.
I do listen.
Big brain play. Okay, we have a loaded show today. Like I said, it is a Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the program brought to you by SherwoodFord.ca. Check them out online. Their extensive inventory of new and used vehicles. The Oily Boys going for a fifth straight dub tonight as they begin a road trip, and they start their road trip with the toughest test. The Boston Bruins are a good hockey team. We saw that, whatever it was, 10 days ago here in Edmonton when the Bruins rolled in and beat the Oil in OT. But it's a 4-game road trip for the Oilers against 3 non-playoff teams, 2 of which are nowhere near the playoff picture, and the Boston Bruins, who are up near the top of their division. So tonight is a big test. Liam, quickly, before we get to Luke Gazdik, do you kind of like starting the road trip with the toughest matchup? Like, you just get it out of the way early?
Yeah, because then you play to a certain standard, right? And then that standard hopefully can continue throughout the road trip. So, yeah, I think it's good to get the biggest test out of the way. And also, the Oilers got a bit of momentum now. It's better to go into this game on a 4-game win streak than maybe on the back of a loss.
Yeah. All right, let's get out to the Star Mechanical guest line, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can find out more about Star Mechanical by visiting them online at starmechanical.ca. HVAC, plumbing, heating, they are your local home experts, and they even come with 24/7 emergency service. Contact them online, starmechanical.ca. Former Edmonton Oiler, current Sportsnet analyst, current host of the Mitzoff podcast, Luke Gazdick, joins us on the show as he does on the first Tuesday of every month. And Gaz, it's deadline week for the Oil. Are you fired up for the next couple days of trade activity?
Yeah, man, this is a fun week. We're getting geared up at Sportsnet. I'm working the deadline on Friday, so hopefully we still have some things to talk about on Friday. This is my first time doing something like this. So I just know generally the networks, you sit there for like 4 hours waiting to break trades. So hopefully we have some stuff to talk about Friday, but it's an exciting week, not only for the Oilers, but for the league. I'm just very, very curious and genuinely excited to see, you know, what Jeff Jackson and Ken Holland have in mind here. There's a couple teams around the league, but for my money, Edmonton might be the one that I think a lot of people, including myself, ourselves, have our eyes on the most.
Yeah, we've heard a lot about what the Oilers could be potentially looking to do. I know Ken Holland came out over the weekend and said he's not involved in the goaltending market at all. He likes his set of goalies. He likes the organizational depth. But I mean, chatter that they were in on Chris Tanev, that would lead you to believe they're still looking at an upgrade on the blue line. There's been plenty of talk about a third line center, a lot of talk about a top six scoring right winger. Which one of those options should be the biggest priority for Holland and the Oilers?
For my money, it's probably up front. I know there's a lot of chatter about what's going on the blue line. I continually keep going back to the point that Ty, I know you and me have talked about, is what you're going to get. Not only what you're going to get in return, but what you're going to have to give up. And the situation they had last year with Tyce Barry. And I just remember thinking, like, these guys are such a big part of the team. By this point in the year, these guys are Edmonton Oilers, man. Like, there are a couple guys on the team that if you want to make a deal, it's money in, money out. And I think a lot about the chemistry you have in a locker room by this point in the year, and you're getting into the dog days and you're grinding and battling with your teammates. And there's a couple guys that you are kind of listing as casualties that are probably going to have to go the other way. You can read between the lines, whether it's a Brett Kulak or a Cody Ceci that's going to have to move if you bring in someone. I just hope that the return is absolutely more substantial than what you're going to have to give up, because you're sacrificing a pretty good teammate going the other way. I think, obviously, the one that would look really nice is a top six right winger that could probably skate and score goals. But I think a guy in the middle of the ice, someone, I understand this is a lot of wishes on the list, but someone that can play center and the wing, someone that has term, and someone that's a little grittier, a little more physical. I don't know what their plan with him is, but the name I keep coming back to is a guy like Scott Laughton in Philly, who I've loved for a long time. A guy that you can now move McLeod back to the wing, who I think plays a lot better at the wing than the center position, especially when we move into the playoffs here. Nothing against Ryan. Playing center ice in the National Hockey League is a really tough position. And the longer we go, the harder the games are going to get, the tighter they're going to get. And I think that third line, I mean, if you slot a guy like Laughton in the middle, move McLeod to the wing, keep Perry on the right side if you want, like, that now looks like a completely different third line for me. But it's an exciting week, but I don't want to say it's also a sad week, just because I kind of put myself in that position at times as a former player, where you know that there's an integral part of your locker room that's gotten you there that is going out now. And I just hope that their plans of bringing someone in are substantially better than what they have now.
Yeah. And I mean, the nice part about them for once not being in LTIR space is they've accumulated a little bit of cap space. So if you use the third party broker system, like, maybe you can get guys in without sacrificing. But I mean, you've been in plenty of NHL locker rooms, Luke. Like, the idea of them having to move on from a guy
like Cody Ceci, who's been here for 2.5 years, who's really well-liked in the room. And I mean, even a guy like Warren Fogle, I know Frank's brought him up as a potential cap casualty. Fogle maybe more so than Ceci. The idea of moving him before a playoff run, just it doesn't quite sit right with me because he's actually been decent this year too. And I don't know if moving him out just to go get a whoever it might be, Nick Dowd's not a great example, but even like an Adam Henrique, like the assets and then also losing a piece off your roster, I don't know if that's something they can do. Like they need more depth, not less, is kind of the point of what I'm saying here. And just adding a piece and then subtracting Fogle, that's not going to help you slot guys down in your lineup and give you a more productive third line or a more productive fourth line.
No, I agree with that too. And I do think you're right. They've accumulated some money and what they can do. This is why GMs get paid. I don't know how much they actually make, but why they get paid the big bucks. Like this is where good GMs become great GMs in this week, this season, this month, whatever you want to call it, around the trade deadline. This is where you're earning your money. And I think it's a really good opportunity to do, you know, a little bit of juggling here and kind of, you know, figure out what we can make work. I think this has been a really good opportunity for Chris Knobloch to, like, I haven't loved the way the lines have been set up this last month. I think he's trying a whole different bunch of line combinations to see where he can use guys and in what situations. I'm kind of thinking now, obviously this has been on purpose. I think really he has been trying to figure out, you know, how to structure this, just because they have been juggled a fair amount. And dang, I know the Gagne thing just happened. Now that you bring up the lineup, I just saw it before we got on here, and don't love it. I figured you guys might ask me about that, so I can roll off that if you want.
That was going to be my question.
There you go.
What do you think?
I don't like it. It tells me that something's coming here. Like something has to be coming. I'm not really sure. It just seems a little random for that. I think he's such a big part of this team and this goal that they have in mind. I think he's a huge part of it. And I understand he's getting older. His game has, you know, gone down a little bit, but I just think he's such a huge part of this team. Everybody has a role, right? And you look at guys like Derek Ryan and Connor Brown, and I don't know if his situation was one of those guys had to be waived instead. But it's just been clear from almost day one since Knobs got here that Sammy hasn't really been one of his guys. And I've been in that position before with a coach where you just don't vibe with them. It's just for one reason or another, you don't really work out in his mind in the lineup. And I kind of sensed that with Sam, that he was, you know, a healthy scratch for a decent amount there in a row. And I actually think he's played some pretty good hockey. It is not easy, I will say this, from the player side to come in and out of the lineup, no matter what age you are, no matter how good you are at hockey, to go in and out of the lineup as a healthy scratch is not a fun or easy thing to do. You're constantly thinking about every single play you make, every game you get in there. You're gripping the stick a little tighter. Is this going to be my last shift? If I don't have a good period here, am I going to be healthy scratch the next game? It starts to really get in your head, and it's not easy to build games up in a row. But I just think Sam's such a big part of this team. Everybody plays a role, and sometimes that role can even be off the ice. I know that's not what people exactly want to hear, is, you know, let's keep him because he's just a great locker room guy. But I know how much these guys love him, and I think he's still giving you some pretty good minutes on the ice and can be a valuable depth guy down the line here. Might be playing the long game though, so I'm not really sure what's happening here.
A few years ago, we saw Spezza kind of go through this and then just come out and be like, don't claim me, otherwise I'm retiring. With these older guys around the league, is there maybe like a little bit of an unwritten rule of like, don't claim him because he just let him be where he is kind of thing? You know what I mean?
That's a great question. And I was thinking about that too, is that this also gives the other 31 teams the ability to pick him up. I mean, I don't know if it would happen. I think there's a lot of arguments that could be made for a lot of teams that are looking for a guy like this, but No, I don't think there's any rule whatsoever. This is the NHL. It is about as cutthroat as it gets. And I don't think there's anything stopping anyone from claiming Sam. And it's something to think about for sure. And it's something they would have had to talk about before doing this, is they know the repercussions of what can happen. So I don't see there being any team saying, let's not do this just because he is an older vet, or if they put a memo out to the league saying, do not claim this guy, because it's definitely a possibility. And I really hope he passes through and stays here.
Me too.
Just sticking with the lineup conversation, because we're getting a little bit of stuff here in the chat from people kind of agreeing with you that the way Knobloch's handled these lines maybe hasn't been the best as of late. The one big decision is obviously teaming up McDavid and Draisaitl and Hyman. It's not even like they're splitting up Hyman to try build some sort of secondary scoring. I have long been in the camp that long term, this team is better when McDavid and Draisaitl are separate, and you have two lines that on any given night can go out and kill the opposition and take over a hockey game. Granted, they've now won four games in a row with McDavid and Draisaitl together, but it's because that line's doing all the scoring. Where you come out on the idea of going nuclear as much as Knobloch has been as of late, and basically creating a top line and then what I would describe as almost a bottom nine?
First and foremost, I love the expression going nuclear when you put those three together. It's just the ultimate forward line. I don't mind it in short spurts. I think last five games, they have 11 goals as a line, and you can see the elevation in Hyman's play. I know he's there most of the time. This conversation is more so about putting Leon and Connor together. But if they're rolling like they are, just let them be. Keep them there for a while. You know, it's good for their individual games too, to have them roll and to have them feeling really good. You'd rather split them up in hopes of them finding some offense if they weren't scoring. But if they're scoring in waves like this, you might as well just keep them together for now. Also, I think this is a lot easier to do at home. You can keep them together at home when you have last change and you're able to send that line out there against whoever you want, where when you're on the road, let's say they go to Boston tonight, I kind of like them more apart, because then it forces Jim Montgomery and the Bruins to have to play lines against McDavid and Draisaitl. It's not something that's sustainable long-term, I don't think. It's more of a short-term solution. Just long-term, I would love them to play a part, but man, what a card to have in your hand to be able to just stack this back together whenever you want. Keep them together for now, though. Let them roll. Let them feel good. Let them score some goals. And when you feel the need to, play them separately.
Just going around the league a little bit, you obviously work a ton of panels for Sportsnet. We got big news yesterday that the New Jersey Devils fired Lindy Ruff very late in the season. We're past the two-third mark or whatever of the year, and they make this change. Too little, too late in Jersey, or do you think there's a chance that the new coach bump helps them out a little bit?
Might be too late for the Devs, guys. I think they should have pulled the trigger on a goalie long ago. I think they probably should have pulled the trigger on firing Lindy long ago. They're 7 out of the Metro, I think, behind Philly, 8 out of wildcard 2. That is a lot of ground to gain, but you still have close to 20 games here. I don't know if you saw the clip. I found it on X somewhere. In the Kings game on Sunday, they pulled to 6-on-5 and they didn't even have 6 guys on the ice. And Jack Hughes goes to regroup the puck and looks back at the bench to call for one more guy. And I think that was just like the final straw there. If I was a GM sitting in the stands watching my star player call for one more, it's a little bit about player management, but I think it was time for Lindy to go anyway. The guys have to respond in some way, but it might just be too late for the Devs here, but you never know. Well, we'll see what happens. This week could be crazy. I look at a guy, I know they talked about Jacob Markstrom, but I'd look at a guy like John Gibson too. Like Lucas Dostal is ready in Anaheim. He is the next goalie, the goalie of the future for the Ducks. And I would think that makes Gibson expendable. And I don't know what the Devs are doing. I don't know why they haven't traded for a goalie already. It is apparent that Nico Daws and Akira Schmidt aren't the guys. And I kind of want to see the Devs take a run here. It would be, it would make for a pretty exciting backstretch here, but it might be too little too late.
Last one from me. obviously Matthew Rempe has just been going absolutely nuts on the league since he came in. But I don't want to ask you about like his fighting, but like how does he get away from not fighting every single night? It seems like every time someone asks him, he just says yes. Like, you think like he obviously can't sustain this for the rest of the season.
You want to hear the honest answer? He keeps fighting more. You fight, you'll end up fighting less by fighting more right now. It's the same thing I did when I came into the league. I made a challenge to myself when I got picked up by Edmonton. Dallas Eakins pulled me aside and said, you know, obviously picking you up on waivers, we have you for 30 days. This is a bit of a test for you. It's a challenge for you. We get to see what we have in you and what kind of player you are. And so I made the challenge to myself that I wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't going back to the American League. I was tired of playing in the minors. So I said to myself, I'm going to fight every single heavy on every team that we play from game one till whatever game it is until A, they tell me to go get an apartment and I get to get out of the hotel, or B, no one will fight me anymore. And both things happened about a month and a half in. And I still found fights after that and still got asked to go, but it wasn't every game. I went on an absolute tear early where it was every guy I could get my hands on. And I'm not talking, I wasn't going after the middleweights. I was going after the heavyweights, just like he was. And whether they asked him or he asked that, sorry, they asked him or he asked them, it was never no for me. No was not in my vocabulary. And it took a bit of time. And I understand we're in March here, but this will bleed over to next year. It'll take some time, but give it a month, call it a month. If he continues to at least win fights or tie fights, no one's going to want to fight him. And you're not going to play those top, tough guys too much. There's a span with every guy's, call them a fight. I hate the word fighter, fighters' careers. That happens when they first break into the league is like, let's see what this kid's made of. But after a while, it's just like, I don't want to go this guy. This guy's a savage. Like, you're lining up to play him the next game. You're like, this guy's fought Revo and all these guys. Like, I don't want to fight him. So I think for him, it's not sustainable, but I understand what he's doing right now. Early in your career, you got to create some space for yourself and kind of give people that mentality where it's like, this kid will go anybody, anytime. And he'll get to start to pick his spots here, which is the best thing. He'll get to start turning guys down, but early in his fighting career, I don't mind what he's doing right now. More will end up being less.
So you mentioned you were going to do it until you got told to get the apartment or until guys started saying no. Both things happened. Do you remember the first kind of like heavyweight guy who was like, nah, I'm not going with you? What was the moment where you're like, hey, I think I did it?
Good question. And I don't know if this will exactly answer it because the guy wasn't like a super heavy, tough guy. But the first name that comes to mind is BJ Crombie. And BJ Crombie was a big, strong, tough guy, was playing for Arizona at the time. And no, he wasn't an elite, like heavy, tough guy, but would fight pretty much anybody, anytime. And I remember we had them at home and I gave him a slash and I was like, hey, you want to go? And he looked at me and he was just like, are you kidding me? Like, absolutely not. And I was like, this guy's like 6'4", like 230, like probably the same height and weight as me. And I have a guy looking at me going like, you crazy? Like, there's absolutely no way. So it became more guys like that, where it was like, I think I ended up fighting Beaner anyway that night because he went after someone. He went after my line mate, Ryan Jones, or someone like that. But yeah, it got to the point where it wasn't like the super heavies that were exactly turning me down, but it was like really big, strong, tough guys that would fight that were like, there's no way I'm scrapping you. Sorry, buddy. So it did take away. It did take a little bit.
All right.
Nice feeling.
I'm wrapping up with this one from Mainlander. Tim, Luke is inspiring. I'm going to fight the biggest person on every floor of this office building to exert dominance. If it works in the NHL, hey, it will work in your corporate job as well. Luke, always appreciate the stories and the insight, man. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah. Anytime, guys. Go Oil.
Yeah, there we go.
I'll see you later.
Big game tonight. Looking for that fifth straight dub. We're going to dig into that in a little bit with our pal DJ Bean when he swings by, but always a pleasure to chat with Luke. We're trying to jam two guests into one show, so we got to rip through a couple of other segments. Liam, let's get to our game notes for it today between these two sides. Again, they met not that long ago, so everything is still pretty fresh. But in that last meeting, Liam, 11 goals in the game. Both Skinner and Swayman really struggled.
Yeah, and I think they both, well, I think Skinner struggled because of the team in front of him was brutal. Obviously, then Brad Marchand was not very good at all, but you look at what happened with Jeremy Swayman, felt like he was a trampoline. Like every shot was just bouncing off that guy. So the Oilers got to do that again tonight. I'm assuming he's the one getting the start, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully we get 11 goals again, but I do expect it to be more of like a 3-2 game. Mm-hmm.
Robert says, I think Tyler and Liam should throw down. So that it would be an, I would love to see what the betting odds are on a tilt between us.
Well, you're probably a little bit more wriggly than I am.
Well, like I have the reach, right? So if I get you in a good spot,
the reach.
Well, I can hold you back. You know, like reach is a big thing in a fight.
Yeah.
You also have that Englishman toughness to you. So I, that scares me.
You have the reach of your arms. I've been working on these legs for years.
I just made a poll.
You're going to kick me?
Those knees will come out from underneath you.
All right. Game notes. Cody Ceci has 6 points in his last five games against Boston. So he's going to score tonight.
Crazy. It is more than Zach Hyman, Evander Kane, and Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Mm. Just kind of nuts to think about because he is not a point machine by any means. But Cody Ceci.
Cody Ceci, a Boston Bruins killer. Very quickly here. Actually, no. I'm going to save that for just a second here. We do still have our keys to victory. We're going to do a mock trade a little bit later on in the show. Frank Saravalli has a whole piece up on Daily Faceoff about Pavel Buchnevich and the market for Buchnevich. So we'll try to build a mock trade for the Oilers and Buchnevich. But as promised, it's a double guest day here on Oilers Nation Every Day. So we're going right back out to the Star Mechanical guest line, welcoming in our pal DJ Bean from What Chaos with Pete Blackburn. Hey, I have that hoodie too. We should have been matching today. Why didn't we think that through?
What as four thumbs and went to the All-Star game, apparently. These guys. Yeah. Right? Is that where you got it?
Yeah.
So we how nailed many it. Thumbs do you have?
The chat is wondering, and now so am I, is DJ your legal name?
I get this so much more as an adult than I ever did, or I guess in my 30s than I ever did in my 20s. My name is David John, and for some reason, it was never a question. No one cared about it when I was in my 20s, and now that I'm an old man, everybody's like, how does DJ happen? What's that? Is your name DJ? People meet me and think that I'm an actual DJ. I'm not. It's just like how, I don't know, like CC Sabathia or something, or PK Subban.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, to be fair, we have a guy in our office who exclusively goes by Bagged Milk. So I wasn't sure if DJ Bean was like some sort of internet persona you'd created for yourself or something like that. So I'm happy we're on the same page with that.
If I created an internet persona for myself, I would hope it would be good and better than, like, if this is an internet persona, then I am the worst at coming up with an internet persona in the world.
You are a Bruins guy, but this year you've been tweeting a lot about our Edmonton Oilers, DJ. Why do you love the oil so much?
Okay, so I covered the Bruins from 2010 to 2016 when I was a beat writer. And that whole time, or I guess as the Oilers were a mess, I always had my eye on the Oilers and I always enjoyed them. I didn't become a full-fledged oil man doing all of the Daniel Plainview, There Will Be Blood memes until a couple of years ago. I just love teams that are exciting and break your heart and make you ask why you're a fan of that team. I love the LA Chargers. There's a Chargers helmet behind me. There's also somewhere there behind me an Oilers pennant. I've always loved Leon Draisaitl. I was a Peter Chiarelli guy in Boston, caught a lot of flack for that. My reporting was generally pro Chiarelli. And when he went to the Oilers and his first order of business was figuring out whether Leon Draisaitl was good and saying, yep, this will be the guy I keep. I think that's kind of slept on, maybe a little underappreciated, because as all the moving and shaking was done as he arrived there, an easy thing to do would have been to say, you know what, let's take this recent high draft pick, turn into a defenseman, and then we've got our core here. Instead, he went and he signed some not amazing contracts, but whatever. NHL GM, you're going to get that. But that's generally how I'm an Oilers fan. And I love Zach Hyman.
You love Zach Hyman, and this will earn you a ton of great points with our chat. And you love Gene Principe.
Gene is my guy. Like, full stop. Love him so much. My favorite television show is Oilers Game. period. You watch Gene, you watch him dick around these incredible opens. He's so funny. None of it is forced. And if it is forced, shut up. You're forced. It's awesome. And then when you're not watching that, you get to watch Connor McDavid. Not a horrible deal.
And then also our commentary team is Jack Michaels, who just sweats for 60 minutes while he does his commentary. It's incredible stuff.
And Louis's great. And Louis's great really too, of course, the best. Louis.
Yeah.
Those two are amazing. And I'm learning the deeper I get into Oilers Twitter that there is like Oilers broadcast fan fiction that is just terrific. People speculate about their dynamics. It's incredible. Like I saw something recently that basically suggested like they're all having a slumber party during the games, which is kind of what it looks and sounds like. They're like, let's get together with my three favorite people, watch hockey. I can't imagine anything better than that.
We are spoiled. We try to be cognizant of that as much as we can. Let's talk a little bit about this game tonight. These two teams met not that long ago, whatever it was, 10 days, and it was an absolute shootout game of the year. I'm expecting more of the same tonight, and I expect that once again, we're going to be sitting when the final buzzer eventually goes, being like, damn, 7 games of this in June would be mind-blowing.
You guys know Avery out there?
We do know Avery.
Hey, that was served with a little... Anyway, I'm going to... Okay, I'm positive vibes only. Avery suggested yesterday that I will die if these teams meet in the cup final. And I told him, if these teams are even winning rounds, I will be dead long before they get there. Because just the idea of these two teams playing each other several times is outrageous. That 6-5 OT game was awesome. You had everything. The blown lead, the comeback, all of it. So exciting. Tonight, I do think, is kind of going to be a little more like that because Boston just played a really, really good defensively sound game against a high-flying offense in the Maple Leafs. They've got a game the next day against the other high-flying offense in the one that has Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid and Zach Hyman, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the dam has to break. It probably will tonight. God bless Linus Ullmark. Hopefully he's up for the challenge, but I wouldn't want to be either goaltender tonight.
That's fair. Another one on the Bruins. Looking at the way their season's gone right now, just 4 wins in their last 10. And it weirdly, when you just look at the records, kind of sums up the year in a way, because I mean, they're sitting second in the Atlantic. They're right there behind the Florida Panthers, but they've done it by racking up 14 loser points this year. What's this season been like for the Bruins? It clearly hasn't been quite as dominant as the run last year when they were the best regular season team ever, but we know Bergeron and Krejci gone. They found a way, and I commend them for the way they've powered through that and still put together a strong season. But this isn't the same Bruins team, right?
It's not the same Bruins team. They were not going to be bad, though. And that, I guess, is what has surprised people. The beginning of their schedule was easy. And you always have to keep in mind with the Bruins, whatever your expectation is for them, they're probably going to be a little better. And that doesn't mean that they're these incredible world beaters and that everybody gives up on them, but like they've appeared to have their last kick at the can like 13 years in a row. And every year you say, Char is gone. That's got to be it. Tuca's gone. That's got to be it. Krejci's gone. Bergeron's gone. And their generals like are learning from the best. Not that Chara and Bergeron are the greatest winners of all time, but truly utmost professionals and all the glowing things that get said about them, you'd be very annoyed to find are indeed true. So there is a work ethic there. There is a culture there. They were not going to be a fringe playoff team this year. They were going to be one of the top 3 teams in the Atlantic. Now, the start of their schedule, as I said, probably got them a little momentum. JVR started strong. They had themselves feeling some kind of way. They were going to come back to earth, and that's what happened. They've blown a ton of leads. They've gone to a ton of overtime games. I mean, the fact that they've been able to pick up a couple in regulation recently has felt weird because it's just automatic. Multi-goal lead, 1-goal lead, doesn't matter. They're blowing it. It's going to overtime. I think that at the end of the day, they're playing in the easier conference, the more wide-open conference, and every team that you could pick other than maybe Florida right now, as the this team wins the East, there's two or three holes you can poke in a bunch of them. And for Boston, it's defense, it's their ability to protect a lead. It is their forward depth. Those are all real issues, but what they have going for them is that most teams in the East have real issues.
Yeah.
Jake DeBrusque, excuse me, it seems like isn't having the best season in the world. Do you think there's a chance the Bruins could actually move him, as my voice just disappears?
Hey, well, I'll pick you up a little bit here. I'll be a good teammate. It's interesting to look at the Bruins ahead of the deadline because they have areas they need to address, DJ, but they got rid of all their future assets at last year's deadline. So how are they going to navigate this deadline? And is there a chance? Yeah, I know there was weird internet rumors about DeBrusque. Is there a chance he's actually potentially could be moved?
Beginning of the year, I thought that the Bruins had the most hockey trade roster in the NHL, and not necessarily even saying DeBrusque them, but like Ullmark, if he waves his no move, Matt Grizzlick, I thought, and then you can get to or Derek Forbort. Like there are guys that make money and range from pretty good to excellent that you could move, hopefully, in order to get something back in a bigger area of need. DeBrusque would be interesting to me because I don't think that he resigns in Boston, and I've been not physically covering the team forever, so like I don't have a strong relationship there. Like that's not an informed thought. He's been streaky throughout his time in Boston, and he's beloved by a lot of fans, but he's also lamented by a lot of fans because he is either that dude or you wonder where he's been for a couple of weeks. So if they can get something back, sure. But I think that if the Bruins were to move DeBrusque, maybe if there's like a worse player who's a little more consistent and has like another year on their contract, but that would have to be some sort of three team maneuver, because I don't know what team that is contending is trading away a good wing right now straight up for Jake DeBrusque. I'll tell you what, though. I've had designs about DeBrusque in Edmonton for a long time and have wondered what that would look like. I think that in order for it to happen, it would have to be some sort of free agent, hometown discount sort of thing. I don't know if you guys like him, though.
I think we all love him. I want the story, and I love Louis so much that I want that to play out for him.
Love Louis.
Last one I have for you. You made the promise on Twitter that if your YouTube account, What Chaos, gets to 4,000 subscribers, you and Pete will stream yourselves for 24 hours leading up to the deadline. Do you regret making that promise?
No, I want to do it. And I've even said, if we don't get the 4,000 subscribers in time, I'll just do a 24-hour trade deadline stream whenever we do get 4,000 followers. So like if in 6.5 weeks we hit 4K, I would want to then do a 24-hour trade deadline show.
There you are. Producer Aaron just subscribed. Everybody in the chat,
are you folks with me?
Subscribing too. We got like 600 people watching. Go subscribe to What Chaos, because I just want to see what the 24-hour stream would be like.
I will tell you sincerely, we talk so much Oilers. I mean, the Oilers are the most interesting team in the NHL. There's no question about it. And I love them. Pete's tickled by them. We love Gene. We've had Gene on the show. We had like a probably half hour sit down with Gene that's on our YouTube page. He is amazing. We want to do some sort of collab with him tonight. Did learn that since it's a national game, it's probably not going to be the full Gene experience. That bums me out, but I understand that's how the world works.
Yeah. Love Gina. Love what you and Pete are doing as well, DJ. Thanks for hopping on and doing this, man.
Thank you, friends.
There you go. DJ Bean from What Chaos. The chat loved him too.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. He's moving ahead of if we had to like power rank. First off,
I had questions written down.
Everybody. You had more?
I had a couple, but I couldn't talk. My voice just vanished.
Mainlander Tim, who's killing it on the comments. It's special to watch Liam's voice change in real time. Our boy is becoming a man. We also got a comment from Reagan, who said, love DJ's vibes. And Mr. Burns said, same. I like this guy. So the female demographic responding well to DJ's appearance. So
who do you guys like more, DJ or Colby?
Oh, don't tell him that. What if Colby's watching?
Oh my goodness.
It's fine. Liam, you're okay.
Okay, I will not talk for the rest of the show.
Yeah. I'm going to have to put you on the bench for a while. Sam Gagne, send you on waivers. Give you a day to recover.
What else do we have?
Well, let's continue along with the show. Get to our keys to victory coming off what was supposed to be a bit of a Boston Bruins preview. Just turned into us talking with our Bruins guest about how much we all love the Edmonton Oilers. So on that note, let's get to our keys to victory for tonight for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Open now out in Sherwood Park. Liam, we were there last week. It is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool little spot. Great boats.
Great boats, great ATVs, side-by-sides, boat motors, everything you need. And just like with our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant, the reason you're going to want to make Sherwood Power Sports and Marine your next spot to get yourself a boat or whatever you need, the service is going to be incredible. The test pool is going to save you time. It's going to save you money as well. They're going to be able to fix everything up right there on site. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Key to victory tonight for me is avoid the blow-up mistakes. That's what cost them last time against the Boston Bruins. It was the blow-up mistakes. Evander Kane, absolute pizza up the middle, not skating out the icing in overtime. You can go back to earlier in that game. The Oilers just had these 6 to 9, 6 to 10 minute stretches where they just couldn't get the puck out cleanly. They were turning it over at the line. They would get the puck out, and then by that point, they're so gassed that they're just going off for a change and giving Boston possession right back. You need to avoid those blowout mistakes that were really, quite honestly, snowballing last time against the Bruins.
Yeah, they were. My key to victory is going to be the continued secondary scoring. Obviously, we saw Brett Kulak get a big one against Seattle on Saturday. Ryan McLeod contributed very well the other day, too, against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So who's next? Who's going to step up now? You know, like a big game from that second line would be nice. Mm-hmm. I just like the idea of like, Buckley, McDavid, Draisaitl, and Hyman are going to perform. They're the three best players on this team.
Yep.
But if someone else could chip in a little bit too, that would be nice.
So it helped against Pittsburgh, right? That game was still tight when Corey Perry finds the back of the net and Ryan McLeod makes a nice play. And then that game got put out of reach because Ryan McLeod made a nice play.
Yeah, it did. I'm still so curious about this Gagner thing. Something has to be coming, right? Or are they just going to run? So when's that next game after this one?
They play Thursday in Buffalo, Columbus.
No, they play Columbus. Yes.
Columbus, Lumbo.
And Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, so they might have to go two games of 12 forwards and six defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
So how does
But to be fair, we know Gagner skated. So Gagner's in Boston. He's available on a paper recall emergency recall, right?
Of course he skated.
I wonder what's the language on, like, can they just sit there and be like, we can't find a flight for him? Or like, flights are very expensive. We're waiting for prices to come down.
You can put a player on waivers for not the purpose of assignment. Right?
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can. They did it with Jujhar Kara a few years ago. Can someone check that?
Is original Posar listening?
I'm pretty sure you can do that.
To go to our dad and ask, our car doesn't work. Can you come help it?
Yeah.
We don't know what we're talking about again. Can someone bail us out?
I'm sure that's something. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, if he's there, I guess that makes a world of difference. But I'm curious too how this changes the cap stuff in the terms of like, how do they now accumulate more from Gagner going down? Holy moly. And then also, why didn't they just do it sooner to accumulate more?
Oilers have placed, this is from Gregor. Oilers have placed Gagner on waivers, likely done today. So if they add a player before the deadline, they can send Gagner down immediately without needing 24 hours to clear.
Oh,
so
okay.
You're right.
You got the 30 day.
You're right.
I am right. There you go.
You're right.
I win the fight and I win the Gagner waiver debate. You see the count on the vote?
Yeah, you don't want to see
it. Yeah.
You don't want to
see it. No, that just means whoever backs me and supports me gets good odds.
There wasn't many. So
what was it?
83-17.
I'm tall.
They brought up your weight a lot. That
I'm 160 pounds.
You're 160 pounds.
I know, man. I'm actually...
You're so tall.
Dude. I know. I'm so tall. So tall. Like, you know, when Luke
not
was talking about...
Not as tall as Gazdick and Mr. Bean. Not DJ Bean. The other guy he was talking about. BJ Crombie or whatever his name was.
How tall... One sec.
6'2". I looked him up.
How tall is Rowan Atkinson?
Who?
Rowan out. Oh, Mr. Bean. 1.81 meters in feet. Mr. Bean's only 5'9". He's like your size. them's fighting words.
I am 5'11 3/8".
Young man. Midlander Tim Tyler versus Mr. Bean. Does he win that one? Clearly, he's 5'9".
Yeah, I like you in that one.
Yeah, I could take Mr. Bean, and he's old. I would beat up an old person. All right.
Flip it.
Right. Let's
let's look at those mock trades we got going on here.
160 at 6'2". That's wild. I know I'm skinny and I don't put on a lot of I don't have any muscle. Zero. But what I would make up for that with in a fight is precision, agility, speed, and reach.
Dirtiness. You gotta fight dirty.
Definitely fight dirty. All right. Let's get to our mock trade for the day, Liam. This is going to be a fun one, brought to you by Service Credit Union, where the trade is fake, but you know what's real? The money you can win, courtesy of our friends over at Service. The Big Share Contest is back for a sixth year, and it's your chance to win $1 million, and you can win it just by saving with Service. Every $500 you save gets you 5 more entries into the Service Big Share Contest. So save today with Service for your chance to win. There are a couple of notes that I need to include at the end of that. The contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. Okay. Frank has an article up about Pavel Buchnevich. Do you like Pavel Buchnevich?
I'm a fan of his game.
I enjoy watching Pavel Buchnevich play. I think he'd make a positive impact on the Oilers. There are two comparable trades that Frank put in the article. Okay. The first one from February 2022. Calgary gets Tyler Toffoli. They give up a first-round pick, 26th overall, a fourth, a fifth, Emil Heinemann, and Tyler Pitlick.
He went on waivers this season.
If we were to convert that to current Oilers value, first rounder, fourth and a fifth to make the money work. Who's Emil Heinemann?
That's what I'm looking at. So Emil Heinemann, this trade was at the start of the deadline 2 years ago, yeah. Right? So he was playing in Sweden. He had 8 goals and 15 points in 35 games.
He's Tulio.
He currently has 11 goals in 30 games in the American League.
Can't worry about what he's doing now, though. I think back to 2022. Yeah, he was a B-minus C-plus prospect.
Maybe like a Tulio, Petrov, Savoy, something like that. Too crazy.
Pitlick is Janmark. $1 million out the door.
Yeah, that's probably the right comparison. So, I would actually argue Janmark might be a little bit better.
Sure.
But either way,
Would you give up the first, a fourth, a fifth, Tulio, and Janmark for Toffoli?
Yes, I would.
All right. Seemed to be on the same page there. For Buchnevich.
Yes, I would do that.
With Perm? Oh my God, would I ever do that? I would do that for Toffoli.
I think
he has no term.
The hidden layer in this, though, is Toffoli would have been like 30 when this trade was made.
Yeah, okay.
Buchnevich is what, 27?
So then let's think back to February of 2020, where Frank brings up the Jason Zucker deal that got him from Minnesota to Pittsburgh.
Which is a crazy deal.
It is.
Because he had like 3 years left. His deal is ending this season from that trade.
Yeah. First round pick, 26th overall as well. Kalen Addison and Alex Galchenyuk, who at that time was not, I mean, he's no longer a player, obviously, but like he wasn't a good, interesting, intriguing name at that point.
Not anymore. No.
No. So let's convert that to Oilers dollars. Is that not a first in Broberg for Buchnevich?
Galchenyuk might have been a little bit better than we remember. He had 19 goals and 41 points that season prior with Arizona. So a little bit, but he didn't do very well in Pittsburgh. It's kind of like that's when it went downhill.
Yeah.
But what did you say, sorry?
First in Broberg for Buchnevich.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably fairly similar. Addison wouldn't have played any NHL games at that point. And he would have been easy. He was a second round pick, too.
Yeah. If anything, first in Broberg is more than first in Addison at the time.
Probably, yeah.
Although I know Addison was pretty highly regarded, but still.
He was a very good player, still is good.
St. Louis is looking make their blue line younger.
Yeah, I could see that one having a little bit more value than what that was there, I guess. Maybe they would want an actual NHL player too.
Ah, fine. You can have Connor Brown. No, I'm kidding.
I think that's probably the closest the Oilers could get. I'm not sure who there. Galchenyuk necessarily would be. Unless,
maybe it's, hey, there's a good one from Mark. Maybe it's Lavoie.
Instead of Broberg?
No, instead of, like, that's your Galchenyuk piece, just a forward. Just a guy, someone you can slide in.
Perhaps. Yeah. I don't know though. Like
third party brokerage fee, says Christopher Palmer. Buchnevich has term. You're not getting a, I doubt you get a third party involved in this term.
Well, if you want to be real about it, Galchenyuk is Fogel.
Yeah, but you don't want to trade Fogel. But
you're
right
not
now.
Doing that. So the first one is more in favor of the others if they can match the Toffoli one rather than the Zucker one. But again, like Zucker had one extra year on his deal than what Pavel Buchnevich currently has right now. So maybe you can just get away with the first Broberg and third, fourth, something like that. No, you might be able to get a third party in if they take like 250. Like they wouldn't be any more than like half a million.
Well, yeah, but the other problem here with Buchnevich that we have kind of ignored, and it reminded me of it when you brought up Fogel. How do you get 5.8 million on this roster?
Well, you currently have three.
You have 2. Whatever. Because Gagne went down, I guess.
Yeah, so you're
not playing with 12 forwards the rest of the year, so you can't think of it like that.
Well, yeah, because then you could move out a defenseman, hypothetically. I don't know, CC, for example, or Kulak, whatever it may be, and then that money works a little bit more there if you can get a little bit retained, which has been proven to be done in the league before with Ekholm. And then you bring up Broberg.
I'll give you my new dream scenario.
Okay.
Cody CC dumped. He's just gone. Gone, blown away into the wind. Bye-bye, Cody Ceci. You trade your second rounder for Alex Carrier at 50% retained.
Okay, what's that, like one?
One something, half. So you've saved yourself two. Okay. Now all of a sudden you have 4.4-ish in cap space, right around there.
Yeah.
You go to St. Louis, you say you're getting our first, you're getting Broberg, and you're getting any forward prospect lower than Borgo on our ranking. So you can have Tulio Petrov, yeah, whoever the hell he wants. And you just have to keep enough of Buchnevich so that it works. But you get two premium assets and we're going to give you another prospect to make the money work.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. They're a better team.
Oh yeah, they would be a much better team. The stars seem to be lining up for them to get like a Tarasenko or something, which is great. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. Buchnevich just seems like such a push. You see, it feels more likely it's like Scott Lawton, or they'll get Tarasenko and extend him and say, this is our long-term piece or something.
Yeah. Like that, you know? I worry about extending a Tarasenko. I just don't know how well he ages.
Hopefully like wine. Well, Chris Pronger's the journey.
Journey Whiskey. Shout out to Pronger, who tweeted today and said he enjoyed talking with us.
Specifically,
yeah, he said you.
I was trying to be a team player. All right, we need to keep moving along. We're almost out of time on the show today, so there will be no sounds of the oil for our friends at Snow Valley, because I haven't even seen any quotes going around from their skate today.
No, nothing yet.
We can just give, here's what we'll do for sounds of the oil: the sounds out of our mouths and our thoughts on the D pairings for today from practice.
Here we go.
Do we have the lines? They're going back with Kulak, CC, Nurse, Desharnais. I actually liked these pairings last game, but I love it. Pittsburgh didn't put up much of a fight. So tonight's the real test.
Yeah, I think this is the right move. Eventually, you have to do right by Desharnais and also CC, in the sense of, okay, Ekholm and Bouchard are obviously your top pairing. CC and Nurse have struggled since the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. Nurse has not been the same since then. A lot of it has come from mistakes from his partner, which have led from there and bled to goals. Give Desharnais an opportunity tonight. Give him the opportunity on Thursday as well. Give yourself a couple more days to see what he's all about. Can he survive top 4 minutes? Mm-hmm. And Kulak and CC, I could see being a pretty decent pair. And like Kulak has a good reputation of making his partners better. We saw it with Barry. I think we saw it a little bit with Broberg too, through small stints. And Desharnais, obviously the one that's led to it being very beneficial the most. So I like these pairings. I think it's the right thing to do. I think they should play them for the full 60 tonight.
I agree. I think if you're going to do it and let them get comfortable with each other. Who's carrying who on that bottom bearing? I think it's Kulak still, just because he moves so well, but whatever. There's your sounds of the oil presented by Snow Valley Aerial Park and Rainbow Valley Campground. Opening May 31st at Aerial Park. It is a lot of fun and it's family fun all summer long. They also have a ton of other attractions like the Aerial Tower, White Mud Creek Mining Company, Target Golf, and the all-new mini golf course. Rainbow Valley Campground is your spot if you want to get away and stay in the city. This summer, take advantage of over 60 sites and 3 comfort camping domes right here in Edmonton. Head to rainbow-valley.com for more information. Let's wrap up the show with our game day betting challenge. Liam, it's presented by Betway 19+. Please play responsibly. Do we have the board? We do. I'm back down to minus 8.39 units. Jay teetering on the edge of being out of units. Liam starting to pull away. Explain your bet tonight.
I'm flying high and I'm going with the race to 3 goals in the Oilers to win. Plus 115 over on Betway. I couldn't find a lot of stuff that I like. The Oilers are the favorites in this game.
Wait, it's race to 3 and win? And it's only
race to 3 goals. Edmonton gets it. Okay.
First team to score 3.
Yeah. Probably could have worded it like that. But that's what the bet was called. So race to 3 goals, Edmonton plus 115.
I'm going Pasternak and Draisaitl to each get 3 shots. Since the Oilers put Leon back on Connor's wing, he has hit this mark in every single game. David Pasternak has hit this in 3 of his last 5 and did hit it in his last game against the Edmonton Oilers. Even money payout, looking to get a dub here. Jay is going with a Warren Foe goal this evening, 3.721. Jay is not here. He's in Hawaii soaking up the sun. And he texted me the other day and was like, how can I watch the game? Can I have one of your sign-ins? I was like, Jay, I don't think they're going to work in the States.
Yeah, they don't. We have blackout in Canada.
I was like, Jay, my Telus sign-in won't work in Hawaii. And he just goes, it might.
Well, actually, didn't DJ just say that it's a national game tonight?
Oh yeah, it is national.
Much, you got it. Is and
I responded and said
Hawaii.
I responded and said, Jay, have you ever heard of Stream East?
Yeah. Okay. I was just gonna say, I'll send him a link. Let's go.
Come on, Jay. There you go. That is a challenge for our friends at Betway as I look to pull off an improbable miracle comeback. You know what's gonna happen? Last game of the season, I'm just gonna hit like a 20-1 parlay.
I beg to differ.
Okay. Fair enough. The menu for our friends at DoorDash, 25% off, 0 delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. Here's what we got coming up today. Around the network, new episode of Oilers Nation Radio dropping in about 2 to 3 hours. Pregame, myself, AB, in these same seats. Pregame with Boardsy starts at 4:30 this evening. And then we have After Dark with Aaron and Nation Dan on After Dark. So there you go. New episode of the DFO Rundown dropped yesterday. If you want an hour of just straight, great, nerdy hot talk, Frank and Jason got you covered. The Notebook with Aaron, Coomzee, and Zach also dropped yesterday here on the Oilers Nation YouTube. So lots of content to get you through the day. That is going to be a wrap on today's edition of the program. Big, big shout out to our guy Luke Gazdick for swinging by. Big, big shout out to DJ Bean, who already tweeted about making an appearance on the show. A nice picture of him in an Oilers jersey drinking. Drinking a milkshake. I don't know why I blanked on that word.
We did tweet about it.
It was very funny.
I'll follow him.
We should both give him a retweet.
I'll do that right now.
Shout out to Luke. Shout out to DJ. Shout out to everyone in the Charm Diamond Centers YouTube chat as well. Check them out online, charmdiamondcenters.com. You can get a custom ring built and delivered in less than 4 weeks with our friends at Charm Diamond Centers. I'm excited to talk with you all in that Charm Diamond Centers YouTube chat tomorrow. And hopefully it's about a 5th straight Oilers dub. Thanks for tuning in today. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll chat tomorrow at noon Mountain Time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.